Welcome back to The Blessed Business, where we discuss money and mission, helping you connect wealth to purpose. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to The Blessed Business Podcast. Today we have back with us Pastor Caleb Adams of Christian Life Memphis in Memphis, Tennessee. And he's been on the podcast a number of times. We've enjoyed talking about the blessing and the favor of God, and it's definitely a topic that he is well-versed on and has studied significantly about this. And so we wanted to talk about a little bit more about blessing and favor, because one of my favorite quotes from you, Pastor Adams, is, "Blessed people must point to divine favor to explain their place in life." And we realize that without God's help, sometimes some of the things that we achieve that just isn't possible. And we call that favor, but we want to take it out of the nebula, the mystical, foggy idea of what favor and blessing is, and put that into real practical application. What does this look like to be a blessed person and to live a blessed life? So could you start by maybe defining favor and blessing? Give us an idea of what that looks like.
Sure. Well, Hunter, let me take just a moment to say thank you for the opportunity to be with you again. And I'm so proud of the way the Blessed Business podcast has taken off, and I know it is filling a niche, and it's covering subjects that not a lot of people are talking about. And I agree with you that the favor of God is a very, very important thing. When we go through the scriptures, we find quite a few references to God favoring people. Samuel in the Bible had the favor of God on him, and the Bible speaks of David having favor. Jesus grew in favor with God and man. And so the concept of favor is found both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And as you ask the question, we've got to resolve early on is, what does the favor of God look like? How do we define that? And that's a definition that I've been trying to trace down in the scriptures for a number of years now. And the best I could answer or define favor is that favor means that you are doing better than the sum total of all of your circumstances say you should be doing. So favor is when you're working, you've got an education, you've got a lot of things going on, but when you look around at the results you're getting results that are better than what your qualifications and your connections indicate that you should be getting. And at some point, you have to say, this is nothing but God that is helping me to achieve the things that I am achieving.
Well, I love that, because the truth of the matter is, without His favor, without that divine enablement, without that undertow, that special favor push that comes along, then it really is hard to achieve great things and achieve the full mission of God. And so going back to favor and blessing, another point that I heard you recently point out about being favor is both spiritual and natural. So yes. Could you talk about that for a second?
Yes. Now, obviously, the scriptures put priority on the spiritual. We are eternal creatures, but our physical bodies are not eternal. It's our soul, the spiritual part of us. And so the grand story of redemption in the Bible is highly spiritual, and a lot of what we do in the church and the kingdom of God is in the realm of the intangible, the spiritual, the ethereal. However, God is also very concerned about the world that we live in and our physical, literal circumstances. And so when the favor of God is on somebody, obviously there are huge spiritual implications. If you've experienced a new birth and you've been saved, then you've got a great blessing. That's divine favor. But scripturally speaking, when someone had the favor of God in the Bible, it was observable. A classic example is Joseph. When he had special favor from his father. His father gave him a coat of many colors, and that coat of many colors was observable by his brethren and actually became a factor in them becoming very jealous of him. But favor always sets a person apart, not just in a spiritual sense, but in a natural sense as well.
Well, and also David, you know, all of his brothers, when Samuel came to anoint the new king,
yes,
he started at the top and worked us all the way down to David. Well, I wonder how we always focus on David, but I wonder how the other brothers felt when the runt of the family, so to speak, the youngest, gets called out of the sheepfold and says, well, no, you're the ones that's going to be anointed. So I wonder. And this is an interesting thing, is how do we balance when we have favor, when we have blessing, how do we walk that balance to where obviously we don't want to fall prey to pride and arrogance and get puffed up and lifted up to where we, you know, start thinking that we're doing this all on our own, but also how do we walk humbly and circumspectly in such a way that others aren't intimidated or aren't, you know, like we're not being a stumbling block to others by our anointing and our favor. Obviously, we can't control other people's jealousy, but what are some ways that we can handle that correctly?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because when you have the favor of God, when you've been blessed, and particularly when you're blessed with special gifts and abilities, or if your finances have been blessed mm-hmm. that in such a way that you really excel a lot of people in your peer group, can create jealousy. It can also be intimidating to other good people that just feel a little overwhelmed by the disparity between what they have or what they have or have not accomplished and what a person that has really done well, what they've been able to accomplish. And so I think that the more God allows us to increase is very important that we become intentionally humble. And obviously, if God lets us taste a little bit of wealth, we don't want to flaunt that. And a lot of this is more in our attitude, I think. Yeah, humility is basically an attitude. It's when we get around people, we always treat people as equals, mm-hmm. regardless if they're obviously lacking in some resources or abilities that we excel in. We need to let everybody around us, regardless of their educational status or their economic status, that we treat them as equals. That's humility in action.
I love that, where humility in action, where how you treat people makes a lot of difference, where you intentionally instead of focusing on, here's what I have or what I have done, instead, you shift the focus away from the accomplishment, the accumulation of things and stuff and status, and you start focusing on the individuals, the humanity. And I think part of that is possibly reaching out, and instead of showcasing I'm up here, it's always extending that hand down, lifting other people up.
Yes.
Both, like you said, with your attitude and your approach to other people, but all both in how you treat them, but also in being accessible to be able to help others to be able to climb another rung of the ladder, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that helps people start to recognize, okay, this person isn't just greedy for their own self. They recognize that this God is their source and their strength, and it's His favor and blessing that's gotten them here. So here they are trying to help other people live in that same plane.
Yes, that is so good.
So in Psalms 1, recently you had preached a message about this, and it was so good, but you had talked about how in Psalms 1 it talked about blessing, but the definition of blessing here, can you give a little bit more indication of what that really looks like?
Yes, I think Psalms 1, especially verses 1 to 3, are a great biblical study on the concept of God's favor and blessing. And the psalmist opens up by saying, blessed is the man. And that word blessed from the Hebrew, it was an infinite word. It could have been translated blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And so this would indicate to me that the kind of blessing that the psalmist is referring to is a blessing that once it starts flowing, it just keeps on flowing. So we don't have to think of God's blessing in our life as an occasional incident, as once in a while we got some unexpected good thing that happened to us, and that's blessing. But I think that there's a way for us to just kind of step into a place of God's favor where the blessings of God flow in a continual fashion, blessing after blessing after blessing.
Well, I think part of that is demonstrated in verse 3, where it says, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper."
Whatsoever he doeth. Now, that's an interesting scripture because the psalmist is stressing the kind of man that God will bless or the kind of woman God will bless. And we get to that part that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I've studied the subject of blessing over the years, and I've got literally hundreds of resources that I have combed through. And virtually every commentary that I've ever read and many of the resources I've read that where authors have addressed the subject of prosperity and well-being, when they come across scriptures like we find in Psalm 1:3, and that little phrase, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, a lot of the commentators will dumb it down. They will be quick to say, this prosperity is specifically referring to matters of the soul, spiritual matters. We might be poor externally, but internally, because we have salvation, we're rich. And I agree. Salvation is the most important thing. And if you don't have two nickels to rub together, but you're saved, you are a very, very blessed person. And the scriptural priority is obviously on the matters of the soul. But let's not get away from the fact that when the Bible says whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, whatsoever means whatsoever. Let's not come behind the author of the Bible and try to dumb down the vocabulary that was used there. When the Bible says I can get to a place that whatever I'm doing prospers, that means whatever. That means my spiritual endeavors can prosper, but also the things that I do in the natural as a righteous man can enjoy a state of great blessing from God.
Wow, that is awesome. And that's what a lot of times we've referred to this. I think we actually have done podcast episodes about this, of living in the flow of God's blessing.
Yes.
Where it's a perpetual constant, where your life is so aligned with the biblical pattern and with the mission of furthering the kingdom of God that God can bless every aspect of your life because you are in full alignment. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like from a biblical standpoint that God blesses things that are in alignment.
Yes, absolutely.
And so the degree to the level and the level to which you're blessed is purely dependent upon how in alignment you are with his mission.
Absolutely.
And so on that note, I wanted to kind of step through Psalms 1 a little bit. And I wanted you to kind of share with us some of the differences between a blessed and a favored person and someone who isn't, some of the things we should do and that we shouldn't do, because there's a lot packed in this short chapter that gives us an insight to what the signs of biblical favor are and maybe some cautionary tales of what not to do.
Yeah, and some practical ways that we can get positioned to have the favor of God. So the psalmist starts out in verse 1. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And so this blessed man here is first defined by what he does not do. And this would indicate to me that the people that we align ourselves with have a lot to do with whether or not we have the blessing and favor of God in our life. If we align ourselves with the wrong kind of people, it'll absolutely hinder us. So the three people mentioned here in Psalm 1, there are the ungodly, there's the sinner, and then there is the scornful. Now, these are three different classes of people, if you will. The ungodly is referring to people that live apart from God. They're just humanistic people. Ungodly, in the sense that it's used here in Psalm 1, does not necessarily indicate someone who is an evil person. In fact, this could be referring to the person who is not a Christian, that they're good people. We have a lot of people in our society that are just good, decent, hardworking, honest people, but yet God is not the center of their life. They aren't really attached to God's mission. They're just living life and doing their thing, albeit good people. So the ungodly is simply someone that is humanistic. They're very man-centered. And we don't want to align ourselves with people like that. I would be very careful about making a business partnership with a person that didn't share the same Christian values that I have. But the sinner is a person that's really a step beyond the ungodly. In the context that it's used here in this psalm, the sinner is speaking about somebody that purposefully and intentionally crosses God-given boundaries. These are people that they kind of know right from wrong, but they make a willful decision that they're going to throw God's boundaries to the wind and just do whatever they want to do. And then the scorner is someone that is really at the most extreme place here of the three categories of people mentioned in Psalm 1:1. The scorner is somebody who mocks the truth and conviction and godly things. The scorner is somebody that would look at you and I trying to live a godly life, and they would make fun. They would intentionally do things that try to get us to compromise our Christian ideals and scruples. And so if you want to be a blessed man, be careful who you align yourself with. Don't get in close alignment with people who fall in the category of the sinner, the ungodly, or the scornful, because they're really living under the curse of sin, and you don't want that curse that's on sinful living to get on you. And we've often heard it said that if you show me your five closest friends, mm-hmm. I'll be able to know a lot about your future. I'll know a lot about who you are. So a blessed man intentionally seeks out people who are the opposite of what is mentioned here in Psalm 1:1. We want to seek out people who are God-centered. We want our peer group to be a group of people that loves righteousness and truth and holy things, because if you rub shoulders with other people that are righteous and God-fearing and blessed, a lot of what they have will start rubbing off. Our peers matter. Who we align ourselves with matters.
Well, that's awesome, because it's all about who you surround yourself with, because the atmosphere determines a lot of the growth that you have. If you plant a seed in a dark basement with no sunlight and you never water it, or you just, you know, it's not going to reach its full potential. It's just going to sit there and maybe turn moldy. Some things might grow, but it's probably going to be pretty scummy. Whereas if you take that and you plant it in a field that's been plowed and tilled, and it's got plenty of sunshine and it's got all the right atmosphere and ingredients, then it'll grow and flourish. And it's planted by the rivers of water, kind of like this infers. And so the atmosphere with where you plant yourself, and I would dare say plant your family, both from a church standpoint, from a friend group standpoint, from business colleagues, the where you work, the type of culture that you develop if you're a business owner inside your own company, all of those things come together to really set the atmosphere and the tone for how you're going to develop and grow, and those around you. And so that is, being blessed is the first step is being intentional about that atmosphere and those influencers in your life.
That's right. So that's where it would start. But then I think the psalmist, he says something else that's very important if we want to be blessed. After we've focused on aligning ourselves with the right kind of people, the second thing he mentions, he says, the man that's blessed is a man whose his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the Lord's law doth he meditate both day and night. And so this speaks to me that if I want the favor of God to be on my life, I want the doings of my hands to prosper, I must be a man of the Word. I need to love the Bible. I need to love the concepts and principles that are contained in the Scripture. And Scripture needs to be more than something I read at church on Sunday or perhaps read in devotions on a daily basis. But Scripture needs to be something that I actively grab a hold of mentally. I take verses and principles from the Bible, and as the psalmist said, I meditate on those things. And when I'm meditating on it, I'm trying to figure out every day, how can I work this biblical principle into my life? So for example, there are scriptures that talk about showing mercy. And so if I'm meditating on the Word of God, and I'm at business, and somebody does me wrong, or just frankly, a customer or somebody gets on my everlasting nerve, when I think of the scriptures that talk about showing mercy, I'm going to be kinder to that person than what they deserve. I might, you know, if somebody is being a jerk, I may have a right to respond in kind. But when I take the biblical imperative to show mercy in mind, I'm going to be kind to that person who hasn't been kind to me. And thus, I'm taking the Word of God and I'm putting it into real life action. I'm going to be loving the people. I'm going to be honest. The Bible has a lot to say about honesty. It talks about using just weights and measures and how that's right before the Lord. So when we're doing a deal business-wise, it's great to go make as much profit as possible. There's no such thing as making too much profit off of a business deal. But it's very imperative that we do it honestly. Mm-hmm. We don't need to lie to misrepresent our product. We don't need to lie about deadlines and things. We start doing that, we're not going to be blessed. But if we're going to be blessed, we got to take the Word of God. We got to love it. And then we have to take those principles from the Word of God and weave them in to all of our relationships and all of our business practices to the very best of our ability. And I personally feel that the greater extent to which we can weave in biblical concepts to what we're doing, that has a direct connection to how well we do.
Wow, I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, it's interesting. The more I like the meditating part, because it's one thing to read through the Bible. A lot of people make it on a Bible reading program, but it's a different thing to read through it and to read into the Bible. And so to really take the concepts of God's Word and metabolize those, to get those to where they just become part of who you are, you have to meditate on. You have to apply them, not just your spiritual walk and come into a Sunday morning service, listen to the sermon, like, oh, that was interesting, and walk out the door and not apply it when you go to business, to your office or to your job or your, you know, whatever you're doing in your vocational efforts. And so it is so important that we, as part of that alignment, is getting that the Word of God into our daily life and meditating on that and applying. I think that is absolutely incredible. Well, I was also going to see what your thoughts were on, again, going back to this scripture, about how, what are the implications of being planted by a river of water? So what would you say are some rivers of water that we can plant ourselves beside in life?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Psalm 1 and verse 3 said that this righteous man, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So first, let's clue into that word planted. That means that he's not transient. It's amazing how when the Bible gives us a little glimpse into the dark side, into the realm of demons and Satan. For example, in the book of Job, we find the reference to Satan, and God asks Satan, where have you been? He said, I've been up and down, to and fro. So Satan he's moving around all the time. You get over the New Testament, the Bible talks about the demon spirits, that they walk about looking for dry places. And so the few glimpses that the scripture gives us into the realm of the demonic shows demons as being very transient. They're always moving, seemingly unable to find a place to land and to rest. Well, I think righteous people, we want to be opposite of what we see on the dark side. Righteous people are planted. There's a settledness. There's a sense of finding a place and digging in and putting down roots in a given place. So the way I would apply that to our life is we don't want to be the guy that's changing careers every 6 months. We don't want to be that person that's continuously changing churches or God forbid, we don't want to be that person that's changing spouses all the time. There's some people, they can never get settled or content anywhere in life. And really, when a person is that way and there's continual change, the problem isn't their circumstances. The problem's on the inside, but they think it's on the outside. So they're constantly looking for the place where they can prosper. But there are some rivers of water. You get planted, there's some rivers of water. So one river of water that I personally feel strong about is the importance of being planted in a good church where the Spirit of God is actively moving in that congregation. That's not every church. It just isn't. There are some churches where things are very dead. There's no vision. There's no evident move of the Spirit. And so consequently, people that attend churches like that, they do not get the spiritual refreshing that they need. And that bleeds into every part of their life. But one great blessing that we have when we have a good church to be a part of, we get involved in that church and we get in the flow of it, it'll be a continual refreshing, and it helps us to have stability, not just in a spiritual sense, but in our career and our business as well. Having a good prayer life, talking to God on a regular basis, and more than just saying prayers by routine and repetition, but really taking time to open our heart to God on a regular basis, several times a week, and having a heart-to-heart talk with God, that's a river of water. Mm-hmm. And that will produce stability in our life as well.
Well, that's very good. Thank you for sharing your perspective on that. And another implication I feel like is when you are planted by rivers of water, it says, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I think part of that would imply that when you're living the blessed life, when you are planted, bringing your fruit, bringing forth your fruit in your season, I think part of that is both the spiritual aspect of things, that you will bear spiritual fruit, but then also from the natural standpoint, that you will bear fruit as well, that your fruit, and it also says your leaf will not wither. The implication here, I believe, that is when you're living this way, that what you're doing is going to come to fulfillment. It's going to reach maturity.
Right.
And it says in his season. So when going back to the whole concept of business as mission that we've talked about before, I feel like different people are in different seasons of life. You have different stages of your Christian walk. But a mature Christian is one who is giving back, just like a parent who is now raising children or raising others. So that season of that, the type of fruitfulness in that season is to be able to, in the context of business as mission, is to be able to facilitate the kingdom of God.
Sure.
And so that's where I feel like it's interesting. When you get all these in alignment, it becomes easy out of the abundance that God has given you to flourish to the point where you can then show that fruit in your season where you're giving back to the kingdom. You're helping others. You're financially supporting the kingdom efforts. But I'm curious if you have other thoughts about that aspect of it.
Well, I think you have great observations there. So think about fruit. When a tree bears fruit, that fruit isn't for the tree. Mm-hmm. That fruit ultimately is to produce other trees. That fruit is for the purpose of helping, giving, blessing somebody or something that is beyond the tree. So when the righteous man starts bearing fruit, the implications there is that person will start giving back to the society that they're a part of. So one of the great signs of having God's favor in your life is when you are able to start investing into other people. Mm-hmm. And that could be, obviously, it could be financially, but it could be investing in time and taking experience or knowledge that you've learned and imparting that to other people. But a blessed person is not a taker. They're not defined by consumerism. A blessed person is defined by being able to give and impart things to other people. They're fruitful. They bear fruit in their season.
Well, I think circling back to, that is such a good point, circling back as we kind of wrap up here to the point that without the favor of God, without the blessing of God, I don't really believe we can reach the full measure of our potential without all these ingredients together. I feel like the spirit of man can do so much. It can force its way in its in your human will. You can press and move forward. And that's why we see people reach a level of quote-unquote success. But what we're pursuing is the wealth and the riches that God gives, because God, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And so I think the implications of that are that as blessed people that are mature, that are giving back, we can live a life of not only abundance of financial and spiritual, but our emotional state, our happiness, our well-being will be so much greater, and we will begin to fulfill the God-intended purpose that we had. But without the favor and blessing of God, and getting into that starts with getting into alignment with the favor and blessing of God, we can never truly reach that experience. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam was at the epitome, if you will, of what it was supposed to be, defined to be a man, to be a child of God. But when we fell into sin, we fell under that curse. So what this is doing is getting us back into alignment with the heavenly pattern of how we should be. And without that relational experience and blessing and favor from God, I don't feel like we can truly reach our maximum potential.
I agree. It's kind of like this: whenever God calls us to do something, God's call and God's promises will always be beyond the reach of human ability. And for us to really step into the fulfillment of that, there's going to have to be some aspect of God-given grace in order for us to get there.
Well, and I've heard you talk about this before. The implication of Adam before he fell into sin was that the Garden of Eden would just continue to expand. It would expand and continue to fill the entire earth, and they would till it and they would maintain it. That level of vision is so much more, is so far beyond the limited capabilities of even Adam, the pre-fallen human. But he trusted God, and he walked with him daily, as we see in Genesis, that he walked with him daily. He in the cool of the day, he would walk with him and talk with him. So he had that relationship, and he had full trust that God was going to enable him to do what he was called to do. And I think as Christians today in business and working our jobs and our vocations, I believe we can have that, go back to that experience with God, where we can just trust there's big things that you're calling us to do, but with your favor and your blessing, God, we can do this.
Right.
We can do it.
Right. I agree. We've got a big world to reach and a lot of good to do, and God's going to help us and bless us to be able to do it.
It's going to be good. Well, thank you again so much for your time today. We appreciate you being able to contribute to this conversation, and hopefully we'll have even more conversations in the future.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed this time together.
Well, that's a wrap for today. Thank you again so much for tuning in to this podcast episode. Please subscribe if you haven't already, share it with a friend, and check us out on theblessbusiness.com. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day, and tune in next time.